employing long enough that the moment they speak English and realise that £1 per day for their tattooing is probably not very good, and then they go to other studios.
They start to regret the decision then.
They start regretting the decision. Do you know what I mean? And moving on. You know, I would say to you that their decision is so clear to them, it's almost vivid.
Yeah.
Welcome to That Tattoo Show, a weekly YouTube chat show and podcast
in a magazine format.
It combines feature conversations,
how-to guides and personal stories
into about 45 minutes of solution-based entertainment
for tattooists of all levels.
Streaming everywhere, every Sunday.
Anyone can teach you to tattoo.
And that's why That Tattoo Show is all about all the things you have to learn.
Afterwards, we're here to offer professional advice and insight to help you find the best gear
and understand and navigate the often difficult world of being a professional tattooist
and everything that comes with it.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Chris.
Welcome back. Before we get into this week's show, I just want to pull on your coattails for a second and clear up a little bit of confusion about the content at the beginning of the year, because a couple of you have reached out to me and were worried that we'd change the format of the show, and we kind of have, but we haven't, if you know what I mean. So let me explain. We decided in about October of last year that we loved the format of the show that we'd got. We kind of stumbled on a kind of magazine format with sections, like a news section and then a chat and some other little bits and pieces. And we really liked that. But we felt we could do it better than just, two blokes talking on FaceTime and cutting backwards and forwards. Like, if Chris is talking about a tattoo machine or unboxing something, I think it's much more entertaining and informative if you actually see it. Similarly, if I'm wanting to talk about some tattoo history, it's much better if I can show you the history. We put a load of plans in place, and we thought, we really thought that we'd got it. So we started recording. We thought we'd be off and running in January. We recorded a couple of shows, and it became very apparent that we weren't quite there with it. We didn't really have to go back to the drawing board, but it was kind of like back to the drawing board, you know what I mean? So that left us with the problem. There was going to be a couple of months before we could kind of get our shit together, really. So we weren't going to have any content. So we decided to put out some content that Chris had of reviews and a show that I'd been making for the previous few months that was supposed to go out on a Wednesday or a Thursday every 2 months throughout the year, that was based on my column that I write in Total. It's called I Beg to Differ. But we put it out on Sunday because we didn't want to leave you guys just hanging, for a couple of months with no content, nothing to watch on a Sunday. And that's where I think the confusion came, was that people thought that we're changing the format of the show and we changed it to that. No, we haven't. The show that you're watching now, this is the Sunday show, and this will always be the Sunday show. What we're going to do moving forward, because we think in retrospect that was probably a bit of a mistake. If we haven't got a show for Sunday, we're just not going to put anything out on a Sunday. No, we're going to do our absolute best to deliver you a show every Sunday. But, life is what life is. And occasionally we might be away filming, or, one of us might be on holiday, all the kind of stuff, life stuff, But rather than put something out that's not this show on a Sunday, we're just not going to put anything out. So hopefully that won't happen too often. But I think that's probably better for everybody, because I don't want anybody thinking that we've changed the format of the show. Because even though it was, what I was doing was popular, it's not the Sunday show, so it shouldn't be on a Sunday. We've heard what you said. We listen to you. You're important to us as a community. I know everybody on YouTube says that, but you actually are important to us. And so that's what we're going to do from now on. So if there's no show, there's just no show. We won't put any alternative content up. That'll happen, later in the week, as it should do, really. So moving forward, this is the Sunday show. Now, by now, you should have seen the changes that we've made to the show and understand why it took us a couple of months to get it together. We just really felt that there was more scope beyond just a simple kind of podcast. And because me and Chris both fancy ourselves as amateur filmmakers, we wanted to make little films for you that we think are informative, entertaining, and just more fun to watch. But like with the history show, they do take a minute to put together. So this week, there isn't a history section. There is a section that I've put together for you that's about community and why a community matters so much in tattooing, and why it's important to me, and why I think it should be important to you, and why it probably is important to you, to be fair. and why this community is important to us all. Because this whole episode really is about community this week. Our conversation this week is about respect between tattoo studios and whether that's now dead and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing or whether that's always been the case. And that's coming up later in the show. And then I guess the biggest change, because we will be tinkering with this format throughout the year, because one of the nice things about having a modular format for the show is we can drop new features in and out as we get a chance to make them. And so things will come and go, but they'll never disappear forever. If we put something in the show and it's popular, then it'll keep coming in like a regular feature. We've realised that the news section, it's a little bit too restrictive as a title for Chris. Chris's contribution to the show every week, we wanted it to be wider than the news. You know, Chris is a massive gadget head, loves, you know, all the gear, you know, all the kind of little toys and the bits and pieces to do with tattooing and filming and, you know, and all the stuff that we do. And so we decided it should have a new name. Now, I wasn't involved in this name. I want to make that really, really clear. Okay, I was outvoted by Chris and the Purple Andy Preachers, and it has got nothing at all to do with me. Let's just be very clear about that. I'm not happy about it, and that's all I'm going to say about it. So it is what it is. But the actual content, I'm sure, will be absolutely fantastic. Chris is doing a mini review. Now, this is something that we want to bring to the show as an idea that we've got. So imagine you're looking for a new tattoo machine and you've got four or five of them. You don't want to watch 25-minute review all about the machine. What you want to do is get a quick overview to see if that particular machine ticks the boxes. Sometimes that's what Chris is going to do in Chris's gadget show, is what I like to refer to it as. That would have been my name for it, but I was outvoted. That's kind of what it is. So Chris is going to talk to you about gadgets, bit of news, whenever there's any news, because one of the problems with having, you know, a news show is that realistically there's not a lot of news a lot of the time with tattooing, to be honest with you. It doesn't really work, does it, you know? We've widened the format of that. So Chris's contribution to the show will be 10 minutes of news, gadgets, video games, movies, God knows what, you know, just all the kind of stuff that all you lot are into and he's into. And like I say, the name had nothing to do with me. Chris.
This week on Yo Bro, we're going to be taking a look at the ARX wireless tattoo machine. I've done an unboxing video, it is up on the channel, take a look at it if you want to know what you get. First up, we're going to look at the actual machine itself and why I think it is a very, very nice machine to use. So as a machine, obviously what you get with it makes it, I would say, a fairly versatile machine. Not only do you get this, which is the battery, you also get this little adapter, which goes onto the battery, which then allows you to use that on other machines. So if this is something that you really enjoy using, you can use it on other machines. However, you know, when you put that on there, it does make it rather large. So if you've got a long tattoo machine, this is going to cause an issue with counterbalance, but the option to have it there is really good. The other thing that I like about this machine is, let's just say hypothetically this does break and your mid-tattoo, or both your batteries run out when you mid-tattoo and you need to use a different battery, you get an RCA dongle which then pops on there. Now you can use that with a standard power supply and it's quite a small machine, or you can use it with another branded battery. I've tried it with other brands, the new Prime battery, and I've tried it with the Musotoku battery and the Inkjector battery. They're the ones that I have at the moment, and it works well with all of them. However, what I will say is, and I think this goes for a lot of machines that have proprietary batteries, it works much better when you use the proprietary battery that comes with it. So looking at the pros and cons of this machine. Now, to be honest with you, there's not that many cons. The only thing, if I was to kind of change anything on this machine, the only thing I would change is I feel like that needs to be a little bit, like the connector, it needs to be a little bit deeper. That's the only thing I worry about, because if you're heavy-handed like me, you know, when you're tattooing, you don't notice it, but if you're heavy-handed like me, it's got a little bit of a wobble. You know, what would be great is if this had the same connector as the critical. The V3 connector is fucking awesome. That's my personal opinion. I think it should be standardized. It is a connector that works. This connector is great. You know, it does the job. You could probably adapt that and put the critical connector on it, no problem. But that is my only con of the machine. It's just like that one bit is a little bit too low. And that is literally it. I think size-wise, as a whole package, it works well. It fits nicely in the hand. It would be nice if they had some disposable grips. However, you've got three grips that come with it. So if you have an autoclave, you can autoclave them and swap them around. Or you can just buy more grips and do the same thing, autoclave them. The pros of this outweigh the cons. Now, the pros of this machine are when it comes to the batteries, it's modular. You get these batteries that come with it. You get a charger, so you could just buy multiple ones of these. If the battery pack packs in on breaks, you can just replace that, send it off to get repaired, buy a new one, or whatever you want to do. And you can still use the machine because you've got the dongles that come with it, and you can use other batteries or standard power supplies. The balance of the machine is great. Even with these, it's very nicely balanced. I like the option of the brass grip, so I can, helps eliminate any wobble, and it's just, yeah, I like it a lot. You know, you would know what I mean when I say the weight of the machine helps with lining, and it helps kind of like eliminate any kind of like micro kind of twitches or whatever with your hands. So another pro for this is the overall functionality of it. Being able to have the custom modes and not just have like one custom mode is 10 volts, one custom mode is 3 volts, but actually have fully customizable modes is a massive pro for me, because if you are doing a piece that has multiple different elements to it, so you've got something that's got stipple shading, black and gray and color work, you've got your machine and you can preset them, and you can just bang, you're doing the black and gray, hit it in mode 3 or mode 2, which is your black and grey mode. Switch it back over the colour, bang, put in mode 1, do your colour. Need your stipple shading, put in the mode that you set up with stipple shading. Very, very nice, very versatile. Massive pro for me when it comes to this machine. The price of it, I like the price for what you get as a package. In comparison to a lot of the high-end machines that are out there, I think this comes in a reasonable price point. The build quality of it is very nice. I also like the fact that I mentioned this in the unboxing video, that you can see that it's been inspected and it's all been signed off, and you know who's built the motor and put everything together and so on. Like, I like that transparency. I'm not gonna lie, I'm very impressed with this machine. And what I will say, and this goes across the board for a lot of the newer wireless machines that are coming from, you know, seasoned machine builders and other companies, they are getting better. And I think what they're starting to do is they're starting to outshine a lot of the bigger companies. Could changes be made? Yes, no, and that's just my own personal opinion. But as a first offering of a wireless tattoo machine, this is very, very good. The machine that I opted for was a 3.5mm stroke. I went with that because for me, I feel like it's a good all-rounder. The majority of the stuff I do, I don't really require a 4.2mm stroke. Using this, the 3.5mm stroke, I was able to push everything from a 3-liner right up to an 11-round shader. I don't go any higher than that, to be honest. Magnum-wise, everything right up to a 27 mag. I have not tried it with a 49 mag. Don't ask me. I'm not going to use them. I don't see the point. That is my own personal preference, you know, but if I'm guessing if you get like the 4.2 or the 4.8mm stroke machine, because they have other options, probably going to have no issues with pushing those. But for what I like to do, this works really, really well. And what I will say is, if I was to compare it to a lot of the other machines that are already available on the white, you know, in the realm of wireless tattoo machines, this is definitely up there with a lot of them. And do you know what? I said this about the Prime, and I'm going to say about this one. And I feel like a lot of the other companies are just falling back now. Like, this is outperforming some of the big boys. I did ask you about, you know, if you've got any questions, let me know. So I'm going to have to have a look at them. I'm going to read them off my phone, so bear with me. So Daniel Harris, 42024, he says, reasonable price point, you are correct. Brushless, gorgeous screen, monster grip, proper ratchet needle depth system, modular connections. Is there a drawback to it aside from maybe the weight? Thank you for introducing this builder to me, a great smaller guy to support and get on and get what I've been looking for. Killer. Cheers, Chris, on the site now. So Daniel, you are right. It is a great price point. It's got a great, nice big screen. The Monster Grip on it is fantastic. The weight of the machine is not that bad at all. Like, I'm using the brass grip. I'm doing long day sessions. I'm not really feeling any hand fatigue. If anything, I like that added weight. The added weight helps, I would say, steady your line work. I think it is fantastic. So yeah, no drawbacks or anything like that on the grip. Our next comment is off, I'm gonna say Jose Zorano 9518. I apologize if I butchered your name. I do apologize. I tried my best. Dave said, seems like an amazing machine. Are you able to disassemble it for cleaning and maintenance? Unfortunately, you're not able to disassemble it for cleaning and maintenance. So you won't be able to get up inside that. That is a completely closed off system, so you're not gonna be able to get in there. DJS9315, they've said, looking forward to your pro con review after using it. I like the idea of the brass grip for heavy front end. Hand trauma is real after you've been doing this shindig for a hot minute. Age factors too. I like the fact it has no give option elegance, and I never end up using it anyway. Do you know what? You're right. Yeah. The fact that this machine hasn't got all that unnecessary extras, I think is great. And I think, you know, what they've done is they've utilized the ability to fully customize the way the machine runs with the brushless motor and the power supply by changing the hertz. That is something that other companies should have done. So, you know, it's nice that someone's done it, and the way they've done it works really well. So, you know, top marks for that one. So from Mike Harper Tattoo 4789. Now, what he said is, just so you know, it's pronounced Jam. Sorry, I fucked up. I said his name wrong. I'm not Spanish. I'm Welsh. My bad. But yeah, so his name Cham. Apologies, Cham. What he said is that he would like to hear about the use of being able to adjust the hertz whilst keeping the volts the same, to how this directly affects the feel of tattooing with it. That, I'll be honest with you, is great. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I like my machines running fast when I do black and grey. That's why I usually go for a shorter stroke machine, because it does hit a little bit softer. Now, with a 3.5 millimeter stroke, when you're usually running it at the speeds that I run it at, which is like 11 volts, it tends to be a little bit hard hitting. However, I was able to adjust the hertz to say like 70, and it genuinely does feel like it's really soft. You know, you've got the speed, but it doesn't feel like it's hard hitting. It feels like it's nice and soft. Vice versa, if you want to do stipple shading, increase the hertz, lower the voltage, and it works really, really well. So I think personally that they've really nailed that functionality with this machine. All right then, so final thoughts. It's a really nice machine. It's not a game changer, because I don't think game changers exist. It's become part of my day-to-day setup. I just like the fact that I can adjust it so it suits how I tattoo, and I can adjust it to different clients' skin sensitivity and different cartridges, membrane tensions and so on. So yeah, it's something that I use for color and black and gray. The balance is nice. The brass grip is great. It helps give you that little bit of a steady when you do need to do line work with it. Yeah, if I was to give it marks out of 10, I'd probably give it like a solid 8.5, and I'm only giving it an 8.5 because at the moment there are no disposable grips, and you can't open it up and clean inside, which is understandable. And also, I would probably change the connector there, and that is it. You know, if there are those changes, you probably get a 10 for me. And that is it. That is the end of the first Yo Bro segment. Now, if there's anything you want to talk about in this segment of the podcast, of our show, let me know down in the comments below, and I will certainly take a look at it for you. But yeah, that's me done, and I will catch you later.
For me, tattooing has always been and always will be about community. When I became a tattooist and started travelling to conventions and guest spots all over the world, the thing that I can remember feeling the most above everything else was that I belonged. For most of us, our tattoo communities are us and our clients, our teams, and the community of ourselves and our peers. For myself, and hopefully for you, there's also another newer community that's been forming over the last few years, and that's this one, the one that we're building here on this very channel. We're all here because we love this craft, regardless of whatever version of tattoo art we choose to make personally or where our skill set is currently at. And we're passionate about it. Traditionally, we've gathered together at conventions to celebrate tattooing, have great conversations, real laughs, and learn. And that was the only way to get together. But our digitally connected world and the democratisation of content delivery have made worldwide communities like this one possible in recent years. And just like the more traditional communities, it offers us all a camaraderie that extends beyond the confines of our studios. In this community, hopefully, we find solace, inspiration, and above all, a sense of belonging. Recently, I've been telling you about the history of tattooing, and the thing I've noticed above all is that tattoo history is full of characters who all had one thing in common. They were curious and resourceful, these maverick tinkerer pirates that built the tools and techniques that we take for granted today have unintentionally instilled a spirit of experimentation in tattooing that can still be seen today. Just like the artists of the Renaissance, they were constantly reinventing their tools and art, both pushing the boundaries of the craft and adding their unique voices to the stories as they went. Just like the great masters of old who reinvented their tools and techniques, we too embrace change, eagerly exploring new methods and technologies to refine our artistry. With every line, we're redefining what it means to be a tattooist, blending tradition with innovation to create something truly extraordinary. You see, the fact we're all here in this little community shows that just like the old masters who created our scene, we're all still just as curious. And just like those Renaissance artists who imbued their works with their unique voices, we infuse each tattoo with a piece of ourselves, weaving our stories into the fabric of our art. And in doing so, we become part of a timeless tattoo narrative, adding our voices to the story as it evolves through the ages. And that is just about the purest expression of art and community that I can think of, even if we don't always agree. As the art of tattooing continues to ascend in popularity, it stands poised at that precipice of commercialisation, a fate shared by many other art forms. This duality, of course, is both a blessing and a curse. An influx of resources and attention can elevate the craft, providing opportunities for artists to thrive and innovate. Yet, amidst the allure of profit, there lies the risk of dilution, of losing sight of the art's essence in the pursuit of commercial success. In this uncertain landscape, it becomes increasingly challenging to discern what truly constitutes the best. Commercial viability doesn't inherently diminish the integrity of a piece, nor does underground status guarantee artistic merit. As the lines blur between commerce and creativity, we have to navigate carefully. We're the current custodians of this craft, and we have to value authenticity above everything else, and not let down the generations that came before us by selling out. In these difficult times, it's easy to get lost, but as one big community, or as lots of smaller communities, we'll decide together. Only the strongest of ideas will survive, and we'll all leave tattooing a better place for our presence. So, let the skeptics scoff and the naysayers shake their heads in disbelief. Here, in the sacred spaces that are our studios, we know the truth. We know that art isn't just about what you create. It's about the community you build, the connections you forge, and the love we all share for this beautiful, indelible craft. And that's why I think community is really important to us as artists, as tattooists. It gives us, for me personally, the sense of finding my people and belonging was really important to me, you know. It's also why I think we should, I know we're competing businesses and everything, but it's why I also think we should have respect for each other. It doesn't matter what style of tattooing that you do. You're a tattooist, and we should respect each other because we're all part of this craft and this world. And that's why coming up is the question I wanted to ask Chris. Is it okay for tattoo studios to hunt and headhunt and steal and poach from other local studios? Not one length of the country to the other, not one continent to another, literally in the same town. Is that okay? Is that the world of tattooing that we want? And that is coming up now.
Hello. Hello. I've got a question for Chris this week. You already know what the question is, but I'm going to ask him because he doesn't at the moment. Chris.
Bonjour.
is professional courtesy dead in the world of tattooing?
Probably. In all fairness, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Was professional courtesy ever alive in the world of tattooing? Was there ever honour amongst thieves? Because we like to talk about this, like, oh, back in the day, it was this, that and the other. But was it really? Was there, was there professional courtesy?
Yeah, and if... yeah, so, like, when I first started getting tattooed, there was only one tattoo studio in the town that I'm from, right? There's one studio there, and nobody else would open up unless it was in another town. But at the same time, whilst there was that courtesy, there was also it was also a case of, like,
are we going to call it healthy, friendly competition?
Well, no, it was a case of, like, you know, some guy opened up a shop, went to open up a shop in Merthyr, and a bunch of bikers were like, you ain't opening up in here, mate.
So, to give you some context for this conversation, what we're talking about is, we like to believe that there's always been honour amongst thieves in the world of tattooing, and we've always had a professional courtesy. We are competing businesses at the end of the day, but competing businesses have a lot, in a lot of industries, they have some unwritten rules of you don't do this, you don't do that. So, like what you're saying, the certain, you know, certainly when I opened up my shop, I looked at, how far am I away from the two nearest tattoo studios to me? And so I looked at the area, and there's a tattoo studio there, there's a tattoo studio there, so I opened up there.
Yeah, but you don't get that now.
But, you know, well, no, I don't think people would think about that. You know, with some of the, you know, the chain store type tattoo studios, they just find a studio that's doing really well and open their tattoo studio next door to
it. Yeah, but it's like the barber shop next to my studio. He was like, oh, I've got a room, I might get a tattooist in there. And each thing of a fuck, he's literally two doors down and he just put a tattooist in there. And they ain't the best either. They, like, extra work for me because I get to do loads of cover-ups. Like,
The thing that kind of prompted this conversation, I guess, is, and I've had this conversation with a number of friends who've experienced the same things, with the advent of these chain store tattoo studios opening, and like we were talking about a little while ago, tattooists or business owners coming into the world of tattooing with no history or context of the industry that they're working in, they behave in a way that, to me as a professional tattooist, seems very discourteous.
Yes.
So, for instance, it would appear to be perfectly okay and acceptable to be in a studio 4 or 5 miles from another studio and to blanket email all of the staff, right, and offer them a job. Do you want a job? Like, this has happened to my guys 3 or 4 times now. New studio opens up somewhere, and the first thing you get is they email every one of the staff and go, do you want a job? Now, I personally, now, if this was a, you know, an international company somewhere offering one of them a guest spot or, you know, another opportunity, I'm like, well, that's kind of fair enough. That falls under, because, you know, we were talking earlier about headhunting is a thing that goes on in industries.
Yeah.
Where you find somebody with the right skills for your job. But the headhunting tends to be done with international companies that are competing on a huge playing field.
Yeah.
You don't, it's not really headhunting if you own a sofa shop in the high street and at the top of the high street, and you try and get the best salesman from the sofa shop at the bottom of the high street, and that's poaching.
Oh, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? The other thing that we were talking about is that when a tattooist goes from one studio to another, and this is why I think they want the guys, is that they take their client list with them.
No,
because
100%.
If you're halfway through a sleeve and your tattooist goes from working at the top of the high street to the bottom of the high street, you're going to go and get your tattoo finished with him, right? You know what I mean?
If you think about it, right, even though it's a shitty move, right, it is, from a business perspective, it's a smart move, because what this guy is, what they're potentially doing, you've got somebody that's got no clientele, right? They've just bought a shop or rented a shop, kitted it out and gone, right, what can I do?
Yeah.
I'll go and I'll fucking email shitloads of people who've already got existing client lists, and then I've got a shop full of artists and I've got a load of clients and I'm going to make money.
See, my question to you about that would be, okay, fine, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's a, you know, it's a good, shrewd business move if you look at it one way. But do you give a, you know, you own Bridge End Tattoo with Nipper and Rex, right? Yeah. Do you give a shit what people think about the quality of your tattoo studio in the industry work generally?
Yeah.
Right. So if you were then emailing everybody in Bridge End who tattoos to come and work at your shop and annoying all of the people, yeah, you'd have a bad reputation. So you might think it's a shrewd business move, but then if the entire industry is looking at your brand that has now become synonymous with shady business practices, the bad treatment of artists, massive turnovers of staff.
Yeah.
Does that, is that not a really shit business move? Because you're making the brand look absolutely fucking crap.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm saying. It's like from like an initial startup perspective, if you are basically, that's the only way I can describe people who do this. Doing that works for you because you've got a shop, you need to fill it, and you're going to bring people in that area of clients. Is it a good thing to do? No, it's not.
Is it short-sighted though, as well? Does that, you know, you get your shop, you put all your chandeliers up and you put your branding outside and you recruit all of the artists that are already working locally. Now, you're only going to do that so many times before...
You get a bad rep.
You get such a bad reputation that nobody will go and work in those shops because the moment you see it and you go, we work at, insert McDonald's, a tattoo studio name here, you'll just delete that email and go, well, that's a shit place to work. And they get rid of you. The turnover of staff is so high that... But there are any artists looking at it going, every time I check that list of who works there is a different 9 people working there. Like if I was not a studio owner and was looking at that, there's no way I'd go and work in a studio like that because I'd be like, well, first of all, you're canvassing, you know, you're just blanket offering anybody a job. So you're only after me, you know, working for you to bring my client list. And you change your staff so often that makes me think that you've got a terrible working environment or it's a really, really bad deal.
Well, that's the other side.
By this point, you probably know some of the companies that we're talking about. You know, obviously, we're not going to, you know, mention them by name. But, you know, if your business practice is to get a load of people working for you whose primary language or first language is not English, and you're only going to employ them long enough that the moment they speak English and realise that £1 per day for their tattooing is probably not very good, and then they go to other studios.
They start to regret the decision then.
They start regretting the decision. Do you know what I mean? And moving on. You know, I would say to you that their decision is so clear to them, it's almost vivid.
Yeah.
You know, it's how clear that decision is. The moment you realise that your deal isn't very good.
Do the other thing
as
well.
You realise that you regret your decision. It's so clear, it's vivid to you that you need to move on.
And sling your ink somewhere else.
Now,
do the other side of it, though. It's like, and they go, they probably not even in these pages because they tattoo specific ones. And if people find out you're not a tattooist, they'll fucking kick you out of the pages. But I've seen it loads where I think there's like a studio up in Scotland, people who have worked there, similar thing, canvassing and shit like that. And as soon as the people go and work there and then leave because it was a shit place and the way they run it was bad.
Well, it's just not very rock and roll, is it?
No, it's not rock and roll at all. And they just fucking... and they just slate it online. Like, oh, I seen one the other day and they were like, they took pictures, they put it all up online. And this is legit. If you go on that tattoo shop talk, it is in there somewhere in the depth of the fucking...
the depths of the bottle. Yeah,
they put pictures of this tattoo studio, right? One of these chain ones. And they said it was stinking in there. Like, the smell was disgusting. Because the guy just had a fucking cupboard full of clinical waste bags.
Oh, yeah,
that
I saw
was just
that
fucking
one.
Piled up. Because he didn't have a contract or something. Like, we have to have a bin. Because, they've changed ours now. Where they're like, oh, well, you know, we can only pick them up, like, you know, once a month now. But we've got a big fucking yellow bin that we keep out the back.
We've got two, because we've got a pier, so you need two when you got a pier, so they get through a lot of paper.
But you're like your stock room.
Yeah,
it's like
they just pile it up in there.
The stock room, like.
So, the question I'm asking is, obviously, because we think about this as, you know, where is this taking the industry? Is this shrewd 21st century business people coming into the industry and making tattooing modern and all that? Or is it just a bunch of market stall traders preying on an industry that's currently, you know, like seem to be making loads of money before they move on to do whatever the next get rich quick scheme is. I mean,
I think it's going to, they're going to target younger tattooists, right, that haven't got the same kind of like experience within working in the industry as, like, say, for example, myself and you. They target those type of people, then it will give all of those a sour fucking or a bit of taste in their mouth, like, doing it. And it's going to give them a bad experience, and then it's going to end up flipping back on themselves, and they'll end up just having to fuck off.
You see, but if all these young tattooists experience that, and, you know, because my experience of owning and working in a tattoo studio is it's like a little family that have a laugh, have good times and bad times and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. If they don't get that and they go, do you know what, I'm just going to open a private studio, you know, we used to call that your spare bedroom or your kitchen, but it's called a private studio there.
Shed, no, in the garden. Like.
Shed in the garden, you know, which is actually not bad.
No, it's quite nice. It looks fucking class.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
What do I mean? It's like such a fuck full of the tattoo industry that you spent like fucking, they know the proper ones, you spend like 12, 15 grand, put a shed in his back garden. Yeah. And now, right, the bonus of that is like a percentage of his mortgage is a tax write-off.
Not anymore. You can't do that anymore.
Can you not?
No, it's changing. It's all changing, those rules, you know. Like, it's not tax effective to do that anymore. There's all kinds of rules that they've changed and everything, you know, because I wanted to do the same with my garage and they said, no, it's not a good idea. Not a really good idea. But no, I just query, like, you know, because I'm sure these people would defend themselves. I'm not sure it's very clear who we're talking about.
I don't think there's anything to defend, though, is it? Like, tattooing is a completely different...
So but I think they would defend themselves and say, no, it's business, and all is fair in love and war and all that sort of stuff, and I'm a shrewd businessman.
There's the thing, tattooing is not the same. Like, whilst tattooing is a business, and I can't believe I'm fucking saying this, right, it's also a craft. You know, do you mean? It's something that you dedicate your fucking life to. Like, I wouldn't put the amount of hours, right, that I put into this job, into this career, I wouldn't put that into any other job. If I was a fucking plumber, I wouldn't be doing the shit that... I wouldn't have a fucking plumbing podcast, like, do you mean? I'd just be going to work...
What do you think?
Welding pipes.
You know, I'm sure some of you will have had these kind of blanket emails. One of the things that bothered me about this stuff, excuse me, is that... I read the emails because obviously my guy was meant, here, have a look at this.
I fucking accept it. I would.
It's the same email. But now the thing is, they clearly, when they're emailing, they haven't even looked at the artist's work.
Are they using ChatGPT? Like?
Well, it all feels very ChatGPT.
Hello, friend. I see you tattoo. Would you like to work in my shop?
But also, in my case, they're emailing my daughter to ask her to leave the studio that she's a director of, having no understanding that this is a family business and that she part owns the business with her. She's a director of the company.
So
like
what you should do, right, is you should fucking put a dress on, go down and be like, hello, my name's Beth.
Is this shrewd business or is this just arsehole behaviour? I mean, I think it is. I don't think it's okay. I mean, I think, like, if one of my guys got an email from a studio in America going, we really love your work, we love your use of negative space and we love your use of colour, clearly have been looking at the artist's work and go, we've got this opportunity for you, we'd love to organise a visa, have you work? I think that's a different story.
So,
but when it's somebody who's 10 miles from my studio, blanket emailing my staff for the third time in a year, you kind of go, at this point, I kind of wish it was like 40, 50 years ago and I could just go burn the fucking shop down. Because that's what would have happened. Let's be honest.
That's what's sad. But like, see, the only time I think it's acceptable to do something like that, and
I wouldn't really burn a shop down.
You would. The only time it's acceptable to do something like that, and I did consider doing something like that, and only because I wanted to be a shit. Because that fucking barber that opened up next to my shop and decided to get a tattooist, I was like, right, I've tattooed him. And I'm like, and you've got the fucking audacity, knowing that I've tattooed you, to go and get a fucking shit tattooist. And I was, you've got my shop here, there's a barber shop over there, and then there's the barber shop right next up there is the one that is opened up with the tattooist. And if the one that was directly next to me, if that wasn't there, then I would have noticed that they've stopped me from doing it. But what I was going to do is have a chat with Nipper and Reese, do the front of the shop, because we've got quite a big shop front, so we've got enough space. Yeah. And I was going to just walk straight into his barbershop and be like, how much do you pay for rent in your place? Yeah. And then whatever he says, I'll be like, charge £100 less a week and be like, come and work in my shop.
And put a barber shop out the front.
Just to fucking...
Fight fire with fire.
Yeah. Just to...
I think that this is, personally, I think this is unacceptable behaviour, right? I think it's completely unacceptable to do that. If you're 100 miles from a studio, then I think it's okay. And you're looking for a particular style of artist and you know the artist and you love their work, I think that's okay. But if you're just blanket emailing people...
It's the way you approach it as well, though, isn't it?
Well, I think the approach... These are the kind of people
off with
that
the guest
would go,
box.
Yeah, but it's business. Business is business. It's not personal, Chris. It's business. I'm stealing all your stuff. I'm a shrewd businessman. It's like, I just think you're a prick.
Like, fuck off, Dale, boy.
Yeah, but that's my point. But if this is going on, how long before the nail bars start emailing people?
Oh, that's going to happen, yeah.
You know,
fucking hell.
If the barbers are doing it and then these shrewd business tattoo people are doing it, how long before the nail bars start doing it? Or how long before they go, well, none of the actual tattoos will do it. We'll just have the people from...
The tattoo schools.
From the tattoo schools, and we'll just dump them in there.
But yeah, fuck it, though, innit? Let them do it. It's plenty of work for me because I do loads of cover-ups, like, so, you know.
I don't know. What do you think? Have you had these kind of emails? Has somebody tried to recruit you from a local studio? Do you own a studio? Do you think it's out of order? Is this just business? Is it completely okay? Does it fall under headhunting? Or are you just being a prick? Yes.
This like prick. This right word. Or if you want to, for you American people out there, twat.
Twat.
I fucking hate it. twat.
No, man. It's okay if you say it wrong.
Well, no,
we,
it's not.
You know, we go past it. You know.
But twat is such an aggressive word. And like, if somebody turned on to me and said, "Chris, you're such a twat," I'd laugh because I'm like, that just makes it like lovable.
It doesn't have quite the impact.
Oh,
as
thank you.
So we haven't really sorted that out. But
well, we have. If you fucking...
Yeah, don't do it, you're a dickhead.
You're a dickhead. If you blanket email people, right, that in a shop, you are a fucking dickhead. And if you get those emails, don't work for them because they don't care about you. Because if they did care about you, you'd get a far more personal email and they'd probably invite you to do a guest spot first just to test the water.
But let's be honest, if you're already doing it, you probably know you're a dickhead.
Yeah.
And you've been a dickhead all your life and this is just... the last or the latest in a long line of dickhead moves, isn't it?
Vividly.
You're just not rock and roll and everybody's going to regret what you're doing. Pack it in. We've had enough. And with that, this has been That Tattoo Show. I don't think we've sorted anything out.
No.
Let us know what you think in the comments down below. Is it okay to do that? Is it just business? Are we just, you know, two old school tattooers who just don't understand that the world is evolving around us. And this
the
is
world
has
lost manners.
Because
like.
I'd like to know if it is, because if it is, I'm just going to start blanket emailing people and ask them to come and work at my shop, because I thought we had a bit of professional courtesy between us. And with that, I've been Paul.
I have been Christoph.
And this has been That Tattoo Show. Tell the lawyer, tell the judge, tell the priest. Tell the...
Blanket emails. Emailing. Go fuck themselves.
Yeah, tell them to go fuck themselves. And with that, we'll see you next time, guys. Take care.
That Tattoo Show is made possible in part with the help of all of our friends. So thank you to Rob from Electrum, to Perry from Total Tattoo Magazine, and to our growing band of executive producers, the Purple Handed Preachers. We can't do this without you, and we appreciate every single one of you. So on behalf of myself and Chris, thank you all sincerely for your help. We really do appreciate it.